In your face.
I'm joined by Frederick Johnston, who is a solicitor at the HIV/AIDS Legal Centre in Sydney. It's a national service. Freddie joins us on the line. Freddie, welcome to 3CR.
Thank you very much, James. Good to be here.
It's great to have you on board. It's a wonderful service. It provides so many, you know, essential legal services for people, not just living with HIV, but also living with hepatitis. Tell us about the legal services you provide.
Yeah, thanks, James. So, as Australia's only specialist HIV and hepatitis legal centre, we provide holistic, trauma-informed services to people with HIV and hepatitis all across Australia. And this includes providing legal advice, ongoing representation, community legal education, and law reform activities. So Australia has a world-leading response to the HIV epidemic, with new advances in medications leading to effective prevention methods like daily PrEP, and 98% of people living with HIV in Australia having an undetectable viral load, which means that there's no risk of sexual transmission. However, despite these advancements, discrimination still persists in all facets of life, including healthcare. And unfortunately, much of this discrimination is actually structural and lawful, such as in the migration system. So our work consists of assisting people with HIV or hepatitis avoid discrimination through community legal education on people's disclosure rights and when they're legally required to disclose their status. And spoiler alert, it's in very few situations. And in case any of your listeners wanted more information, we have disclosure guides for some states on our website, and we're actively working on an AI disclosure tool, which we'll be launching soon as well. So please watch this space.
Wow. Tell us a bit more about that AI tool.
Well, our AI tool, which we're developing, will be a one-stop shop for all questions relating to disclosure across all different states in Australia.
Wow, fantastic. Because, I mean, I guess the laws vary slightly from state to state. What are the most common legal issues generally that people do present with?
Well, thanks, James. So, yeah, we assist with unlawful discrimination where someone's discriminated against because of their HIV status in employment or accessing a service. But as I mentioned earlier, much of the discrimination people living with HIV face is structural and lawful. So there's exemptions in our Discrimination Act which allow for lawful discrimination in insurance and in migration. So while we do assist in unlawful discrimination and suing insurers who deny coverage to our clients, the majority of our work that we do focuses on migration law, assisting HIV-positive migrants navigate our complex migration system. And that's because people living with HIV currently don't meet the health criteria for permanent or provisional visas, meaning that their permanent pathways to Australia are limited. So much of our work, maybe 60%, consists of advising new migrants and asylum seekers about the impact of their health status on their migration pathways and advising them of what options are available. We also represent refugees with protection visa applications, as some of our clients face a real risk of persecution in their home country based on their HIV status, sexuality, or gender expression. But beyond migration, we assist in a wide range of everyday issues. Many of our clients, James, who are either recently diagnosed or have been positive for some time, tend to also be members of other marginalized communities. I've discussed new migrants, but we also assist members of the LGBT community, people who use drugs, or people who live in social or community housing, with the majority of our clients being in a position of financial disadvantage. So many of our clients have unique, often intersecting legal issues and are already more likely to encounter the legal system through interactions with police or disputes about Centrelink or tenancy matters like that.
It's an incredibly vital service. So you work with a lot of people who have intersecting, you know, stigmas, if you like. They're stigmatized on multiple levels. It's a hugely
exactly.
significant service that you provide.
No, definitely. And we find that people like our specialist services because we are across the sort of range of issues that people living with HIV suffer from. And you're absolutely right that a lot of them have intersecting issues as well.
So you were mentioning before just how discriminatory Australia's migration system is towards people with HIV. That's massive, because if people are hugely stigmatised in their own country, discriminated against, but also can't get treatments, then the pathway to come to Australia is really a lifeline, and you're saying our system is highly discriminatory.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So how it works at the moment is that for permanent and provisional visas to Australia, the health criteria requires the cost of your healthcare to the Australian community to be under $86,000 over a 10-year period. Now, despite all of the advancements in medication and treatment, migration policy still dictates the cost of someone living with HIV, and unfortunately, they don't meet that criteria. So that really severely limits the available permanent pathways to visas which allow a waiver of that criteria. So what we find is that migrants who are here on temporary visas need to map out their migration pathway earlier on, and that means receiving early specialist legal advice so they don't apply for visas that they're not able to obtain.
Wow, okay, so that's like a jigsaw puzzle.
Exactly.
So what do people do? I mean, so people come here perhaps on a student visa or a work visa. They have HIV. It's not really conducive for them to go back to their country of origin because, you know, homosexuality, for example, might be criminalized there. Access to treatments may be very minimal or expensive. What do they do? Mm-hmm. Because it's a life and death situation.
Yeah, exactly. So we find that clients that come from countries of origin which there is a risk of persecution, either based on their HIV status, their sexuality, their gender expression, or a combination of the three, we help them apply for protection visas. And we help them apply for protection visas to apply for refugee status on Australia on the basis that if they return to their home country, whether due to stigma or a lack of access to treatment, they'll face a real risk of serious or significant harm.
So there's a massive need for law reform in terms of immigration and people living with HIV.
Yeah, definitely. Something that we're always pressing for is increasing that significant cost threshold. It was last increased on the 1st of July, 2024. It went from $51,000 over a 10-year period to now $86,000. However, we're pushing for another increase, as that $86,000 limit still stops a lot of people living with HIV from being eligible from applying from most permanent visas in Australia.
Wow, and what a huge stress that must be for people. And, you know, kind of really, really unfortunate that people's, you know, health is commodified, if you like. There's a value put on their health.
Yeah, exactly. And as I said, this is lawful discrimination. So there are exemptions in the Discrimination Act which allow for the Migration Act to discriminate against people living with HIV based on their health. And that's something that we find is highly problematic and highly discriminatory. And we're actively putting forward submissions to increase that significant cost threshold.
So you provide life-saving services, you provide a pathway for people who are highly marginalised and stigmatised, but yet you're facing a funding crisis potentially, Freddie, at the HIV/AIDS Legal Service, a nationwide service. What can you tell us about that funding situation?
Thank you. That's absolutely right. So we're funded to provide services in New South Wales and Queensland, and currently have a funding agreement to fund one part-time solicitor to provide services outside of Queensland and New South Wales. However, that funding agreement is ending on 30 June this year. Just to give you an idea of some of our clientele, last year we assisted 134 people outside of New South Wales and Queensland and had to turn away and refer many more. And we find that our interstate clients tend to approach us later on in their respective matters, as a lack of specialist legal services in other states means that they aren't getting advised early, which means that their matters tend to be further along when they approach us and therefore can be more complex to resolve. So we're very concerned about our ability to continue representing our interstate clients, as come 30 June this year, we actually don't know where this money will come from, and our New South Wales and Queensland staff are already operating at maximum capacity. So this means that without more funding, we won't be able to take on new clients and may have to pass on some of our current clients to non-specialist legal services in those states. So this is really a call to action to all of your listeners. We could really use your help. We have a donation link on our website at halc.org.au, and all donations over $2 are tax deductible, and we would appreciate any help your listeners could provide.
So, Freddie, the HIV AIDS Legal Centre that provides advice to people living with HIV AIDS and hepatitis, legal advice around Australia, only has one solicitor that's funded to provide the advice to clients
and
outside.
And she's only funded on a part-time... Sorry to interrupt, but she's only funded on a part-time basis.
Exactly.
Well.
So, one part-time.
So those 134 people... Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
And that's for Victoria, South Australia, Tasmania, Western Australia, ACT and the Northern Territory. So there's that part-time worker, part-time lawyer giving legal advice to people living with HIV in all of those jurisdictions.
That's exactly right. And we're also limited in the amount of people that we're able to represent because of that as well. So obviously for criminal matters, it's difficult to represent someone interstate. But for migration matters, where we do have capacity to take on representation, for example, in refugee claims, we do, because the law is federal and it applies across states. However, when we lose this funding, we won't be able to offer those representation services anymore to our interstate clients.
So this part-time worker who's providing legal advice to all these people living with HIV around Australia, outside of New South Wales and Queensland, who funds them currently?
So currently we have a funding arrangement with Health Plus Law, but that is due to expire on 30 June this year.
And who are they?
Health Plus Law are an organisation which fund and do research for the intersection of public health and law.
Wow. Okay. So, for example, there's a lot of people living with HIV in Victoria that need legal advice. So the Victorian government's providing no specific funding for that with the national service that provides it.
Yeah, that's correct. So the majority of our funding comes through the New South Wales government. They fund us to do work in New South Wales. We also have a funding agreement with Queensland Positive People, who fund us to do work in Queensland. But Health Plus Law were our only other funding arrangement for people living outside of New South Wales and Queensland. So that's correct. The Victorian government does not provide us with any funding or support to assist people living with HIV in Victoria.
And I wonder what our LGBTIQ Commissioner, Joe Ball's, got to say about that, or our Equality Minister, Vicky Ward, or indeed the Health Minister in Victoria, because that seems to be a huge omission, considering the complexity of legal issues that you outlined.
Yeah, it's definitely a pertinent question, and it's something that, being physically based in Sydney, we do struggle with, reaching out to and connecting with partners interstate. We do have a lot of very good referral partners and other community organisations which we work with, such as Living Positive Victoria. However, yeah, we are sort of limited by the fact that we are based in Sydney, even though we do provide currently a lot of services to people interstate.
It's fascinating because, you know, I remember in the 1990s there was an HIV AIDS legal centre. It was called HELC here in Victoria. It got funding through the Victorian government, but somehow all of that just vanished. And For want of a better term, it sounds like, you know, most of the states are freeloading off your service. You know, most of the state governments are freeloading off it. If, you know, there's no funding outside of, you know, Queensland and New South Wales for your yeah, national service.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And what that means is that people living in other states are denied that specialist legal expertise which we have. And we find that clients prefer to come to us when they do have other options, such as legal aid, just because we do have that specialist knowledge and experience and are cognizant of the multifaceted sort of issues which can face someone living with HIV.
So you're dealing with all of these different jurisdictions. What's the most pressing legal issue for people living with HIV that needs reform in any jurisdiction? Is there one where you kind of just think, oh my goodness, I can't believe that law reform has not happened?
I mean, look, in terms of law reform, we view freedom from discrimination, the right to privacy, and a public health approach is critical to the well-being of all people living with HIV. And despite our world-leading and very progressive response to HIV in Australia, successive governments have implemented policies which we do see as problematic and do undermine that public health approach. One such example of some of these laws is the mandatory disease testing legislation, or criminal penalties for non-disclosure of one's status, despite being in circumstances where there's no active risk of sexual transmission. So we view these policies as undermining our public health approach, and these are some of the policies that we're actively fighting against.
Well, it really sounds like the Allan government here in Victoria needs to lift its game, because it prides itself on assisting marginalised LGBTIQ people, and it does in many instances. But in this case, where you're dealing with a broad intersection of stigmatised people who, you know, are criminalised in some respects or experience lawful discrimination, as you just outlined before, on so many levels, it seems like a huge oversight that the government's not, you know, actually pulling its weight and providing funding for this much needed legal service. That really is a shame, and they do need to lift their game.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with you there.
So just give us that link again so people can support your campaign and perhaps make a donation. Because as you said before, there's only one lawyer providing legal advice for the states outside of New South Wales and Queensland. Give us that link again, Freddie.
Exactly. So you can reach our website on it's halc.org.au.
Freddie Johnson, a lawyer with the HIV/AIDS Legal Centre, a national service based in Sydney. Thank you so much for joining us today, Freddie, on 3CR.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Cheers.